the suspect in this case had a furry fixation, meaning that he was fixated on this very online, very weird subculture of the internet in which people sexualize animals, fetishize people dressed as animals. And he had a trans boyfriend, which of course is not surprising in any way, shape, or form.
Boyfriend, girlfriend? We don't even know. They have no idea. One thing that I've said that's very frustrating, and maybe there are journalistic reasons that my mind just can't comprehend that don't matter to the end of the destruction of this planet, and there's some stupid code of ethics or whatever journalists these retards hang on to that makes so they can't publish this. If somebody were to publish the last 2 months of Discord logs of this guy in the room, people on the internet could instantaneously tell you exactly where this guy comes from. I don't trust any journalist, to be quite frank, especially none of these media pundits who are all super bought into a super narrative, to try to ascertain the political identity of the person based on trying to read a few logs of whatever, right? Because there's so much irony, there's so much memery, right? Like, I even saw people say, people were saying things like, oh, well, the bullet said, if you read this, you're gay, LMAO. Well, an LGBT person would never say that, so he must be right-wing. Bullshit. You can find plenty of ironic LGBT people that would say something exactly like that. If you read this, you're gay, LOL, right? Or for the bulgy-wulgy thing, you know? Like, oh, well, bulgy-wulgy, that's anti-trans or pro-trans. No, not necessarily. This could literally come from Fuentes' community. Jokes about femboys and trans shit a ton, right? We joke about bulgy-wulgy trans shit sometimes. Like, that used to be the meme. I had to ban it from my Discord because it was so annoying. Is fucking a trans person gay or traps gay or whatever? Like, that's a meme that was like ubiquitous through so many online communities. This idea of people trying to say like, oh, he was a furry, oh, he belonged to this, or like, how the fuck? I would need to see the logs. I want to see, just show us like 2 months of logs, and you'll be able to tell so fast how he speaks about things, how he jokes about things, what community he was a part of. But this like leak of like one or two statements, you know, every 12 hours from his logs, like, I don't know what the fuck this means.
Perform. And the slogans that were etched apparently on bullets were all gamer and or trans oriented slogans. Notices bulge, OWO, for example. According to the New York Post.
Like, I don't even know if that's necessarily a trans thing. Notices bulgy-wulgy. I feel like that's more of like not like an LGBT trans thing. I feel like that's more of like a girl, like 4chan. Like, I went to this girl the other day and she took her pants off and I was shattered because she didn't have a... Like, I feel like it's more of like, I don't even know if I'd call that necessarily like an LGBT community meme or trope, right? But again, I don't know, I have to see the context, you know?
Alleged Charlie Kirk assassin Tyler Robinson appeared to have a fixation on furries, while his live-in transgender boyfriend espoused support for President Joe Biden and joked about being mentally ill, according to social media posts linked to the pair.
Like, all of these things he's citing are, like, hearsay and hearsay and, like, reports of reports. Like, I don't know how true any of this is. Again, I haven't seen it explained. I don't know if anybody has explained it. Maybe the governor has, and I need to watch his speech. Did the person live away from home? Did the person actually live at school? Did he have a dorm? Because all I've seen explained so far is that he lived from home for a while and did remote learning. I don't know if he even lived outside of his house ever.
Lance Twiggs, 22, an aspiring pro gamer and Robinson's roommate, appeared to have made a comment in a 2022 Reddit post stating, "We're riding with Biden on this glorious subreddit." Twiggs is transitioning from male to female and was in a relationship with the 22-year-old Robinson.
I feel like the bulgy-wulgy thing is more furry than trans, but I mean, who knows?
To Governor Spencer Cox. By the way, Spencer Cox is no rabid right-winger on this issue. He's been criticized, I think correctly, by many on the right for being too soft on things like the transing of the children. Here's Spencer Cox.
Governor Cox was on CNN.
The transing of the children.
Where, does anybody have a link to the Governor Cox thing? Governor Cox, CNN. Urges Americans to look in the mirror. Is it this one?
But I do want to start with some of the many unanswered questions about the investigation. You told the Wall Street Journal that it is, quote, very clear to us and to the investigators that this was a person who was deeply indoctrinated.
Didn't the bullet say, take this, fascists? One of the bullets said that, but I think on the same bullet, there was the code for, it was like a Helldivers 2 thing for something you enter for a drop or something. I never played Helldivers 2.
Leftist ideology. Can you elaborate on that and be more specific?
Well, sure. So that information comes from the people around him, from his family members.
And, wait, hold on.
Questions. Sorry. About the investigation. You told the Wall Street Journal that it is, quote, very clear to us and to the investigators that this was a person who was deeply indoctrinated with leftist ideology. Can you elaborate on that and be more specific?
Well, sure. So that information comes from the people around him, from his family members and friends.
So this is not true. I don't believe it. This is. I think if this was true, I feel like he would be saying like the FBI has determined this or investigators have now determined this. He's just going by the hearsay that's been reported in the media. I don't think it doesn't sound like he has any more special information about this, but maybe we'll see. I don't know.
That's how we got that information.
Apparently he had his own apartment, but was near his parents. He apparently lived on his own, but was living. I'm banning. Hold on. Okay. Source or IP ban. Stop giving me like takes that you think are maybe true. Like just source the article. Give me an article where somebody has like an actual source for a thing. Charlie Kirk's alleged assassin lived with his transgender partner, senior level FBI officials told Fox News Digital. Okay, this is something at least. Oh, this is that Brooke girl. Oh, this is from 2 days ago. Aren't we still waiting on more information about this? Because this was the article that got published And they're citing FBI officials, but I don't know if the FBI has made a statement about this, unless you count Kash Patel quoting the picture of the headline and then tweeting it. Kill me.
Yeah, you got
officials confirm that Tyler Robinson, 22, was in a romantic relationship with any person who is a male transition to a female, so trans woman. That they shared an apartment in St. George, Utah. Those FBI officials told Fox News Digital that Robinson's partner is fully cooperating with the FBI's investigation. There is no catch this fascist line in Helldivers. The bugs are just jokingly called fascists. Okay, gotcha. They haven't really... And then is the up, up, down, whatever arrows, is that on the same bullet or a separate one? I don't remember. They haven't released pictures yet of the bullets either, right? It's just the FBI guy saying that they have... saying what was on the bullets. It's on the same one. All right. One FBI official told Fox News Digital the individual has been extremely cooperative and said the person had no idea. Robinson was allegedly planning to assassinate the Turning Point USA founder. Like, I don't know how we... Okay. The apartment Robinson and his partner shared is in the same southern Utah community Robinson's parents live in. It's approximately 4 hours away from Utah Valley University, where Robinson allegedly shot Kirk. So he had his own apartment, but it was in the same city. But it was the... This is where he shot Kirk, not where he went to school. Did they say the year where he lived in this apartment? Skilled Wednesday, as he spoke to a crowd at the school's campus in Orem. Mm-hmm. Robinson arrived at the father's home. He said he wanted to kill himself. Has any more information come out about... How do we not have any more information about this? This is 2-3 days ago.
Yeah, and there's so much more that we're learning and so much more that we will learn. There will be... official charges will be filed on Tuesday, and there will be much more evidence and information available then. And
there'll be new info tomorrow when they file charges. Hopefully the indictment is... Well, it's not going to be sealed indictment, right? We'll be able to read it there, I guess.
And again, we're interviewing all kinds of people, everyone that knows him, and trying to learn more about what that motive actually was.
Well, some outlets are reporting that the suspect lived with a transgender partner. Is that accurate? And are investigators looking at this part of his life as a possible motivation?
Yes, definitely. And yes, I can confirm that. I know that has been reported, and that the FBI has confirmed that as well, that the roommate was a romantic partner, a male transitioning to female. I can say that that he has been very cooperative. This partner has been incredibly cooperative, had no idea that this was happening, and is working with investigators right now.
And how is that relevant to the investigation when it comes to the motive? Are you learning that?
Sure. Well, yeah, that's what we're trying to figure out right now. Again, it's easy to draw conclusions from that, and so you know, we've got the shell casings, other forensic evidence that is coming in, and trying to piece all of those things together.
You said that the roommate is being very helpful. Has that individual explained to law enforcement what the mindset of the shooter was, and whether or not it is connected to his ideology or his situation as transitioning, as
yeah,
you
I'm,
just described?
I'm not sure about that piece right now, Dana.
Okay, so we're not sure
of that. If we're not sure about that, then why the fuck would we say anything at all about this? Like, what do we, like, why not say the race of the roommate, or like the country of origin, or like what major they had in college? Or that's such a weird piece of information to fixate on without any other link to any information. But okay, good one.
That the fact that he was romantically involved, as you say, with his partner who was transitioning is relevant to the motive of the murder based on the investigation.
Sure.
Did he say that?
Again, all of these things we're trying to figure it out. I know everybody wants to know exactly why and point the finger, and I totally get that. I do too. I just want to be careful, as I haven't read all of the interview transcripts, mm-hmm. and so we'll have to wait and see what comes out.
Yeah,
you have interview transcripts and you haven't read them? You could be giving us the most information of all right now. What the?
Totally agree with you. We should all be careful. I guess just because that's out there, there are a lot of people drawing conclusions. And so I'm just trying to get as many facts as we can glean from you, since you have been involved in the investigation. And on that, the social and gaming platform Discord released a statement saying its servers were in no way involved in Tyler Robinson's alleged plot to assassinate Charlie Kirk. But it did say there were, quote, communications between the suspect's roommate and a friend after the shooting, where the roommate was recounting the contents of a note the suspect had left elsewhere. Can you tell us about that note that the shooter left?
So I can't yet. Again, those are things that are still being processed for accuracy and verification, and will be included in charging documents.
Okay, so but the note was found, or the content of the note is known by law enforcement?
Again, I can't share any specifics. They're looking at everything right now.
Understood. I just want to go back to my first question about what you told the Wall Street Journal about that this is a person indoctrinated with leftist ideology. And the reason why I think it would be great to be more specific is because your goal of trying to lower the temperature, you said that this is based on investigation and
based on how this shit's been handled, I feel like if there's anything bad for Dems, it'd have been leaked by now, right? That my assumption would be if they found some like smoking gun, bad analogy now maybe, but that it would have absolutely been leaked at this point. Like, it feels hardcore, like a grasping at straws thing, but...
A Fox News alert. Charlie Kirk's murder suspect refusing to cooperate as the FBI discovers new details about his dark digital footprint before he makes his first court appearance tomorrow.
All right, FBI Director Kash Patel joins us now. I can't imagine, Mr. Director, how busy you've been, especially Charlie Kirk isn't just an impactful person. He's your friend. So
how busy you've been fielding calls from people.
I understand that. But having said that, people are looking to you to find out is how big this investigation is going to be. Can you tell us the latest?
Absolutely. It's so good to be with you. And you're right. My personal feelings and relationship with Charlie, I have a job to do for the American people, and I'm committed to do it for President Trump. We flexed all resources the FBI had and surged multiple air assets as soon as this shooting occurred. We were cycling in agents, evidence response technicians, hostage rescue technicians, and special operators in and out of Utah, cycling evidence back and forth on these FBI planes as soon as we could so that there was no delay. And what we did, once I got there, along with the deputy on the ground, around 5 p.m. local on September 11th, was walk the entire crime scene, including the foot the suspect himself took. And what we learned was there was evidence, DNA evidence that could be collected and had been collected, including a screwdriver that was found on the rooftop. Also, we went over to the scene in the wooded area where the firearm was discarded, and the firearm had a towel wrapped around it. It's important. I'll get back to that later. I even walked into the wooded area in the ravine, so I knew from my investigative experience what I could bring to the table and what decisions I need to make. And having the support of President Trump and the full support of the White House was what we needed for these resources to happen. And I can report today that the DNA hits from the towel that was wrapped around the firearm and the DNA on the screwdriver are positively processed for the suspect in custody.
So, Mr. Director, that is vital. That is breaking news and vital information because now you have the casings for the gun. So you connect the gun. Now you got his DNA on it. That's huge. But I also want to get to another part.
I just got to interrupt. Sorry. I just got to interrupt. We have the DNA on the screwdriver that was found on the rooftop and the towel that the firearm was wrapped in. The firearm itself, this is a great point. Thanks for raising it.
Yeah, no
problem. That is being processed by ATF laboratories in Maryland. And I believe they'll speak to that at a later date when their process is incomplete. But I just want to let you know the FBI handled the screwdriver and the towel found on
that scene. Is important clarification, Mr. Director.
What does that mean?
I get to the 20 members in that group chat. Have they been brought in for questioning? And the group chat that from our reporting that we're hearing is from after the assassination. Do you have the messages from before the assassination?
Well, let me take a step back and tell you what we were doing while we were there and how we were led to the suspect so that this all fits into the puzzle. We, as soon as we learned of the shooting, we were able to I think Charlie Kirk was shot at 12:23 local time on September 10th. By 12:39 p.m. local time, FBI assets were on scene securing the scene. We then launched at 10 a.m. the next day the first images of the suspect. Myself and the deputy arrived at 5 p.m. local time on September 11th. And then what we did was decided to have a press conference at 8 p.m. local where we issued for the first time FBI obtained video footage that we seized from the security camera surveillance system, and new images, enhanced images, I decided to release immediately to the public because we were working with the public and the media to find this killer. Shortly after that 8 p.m. release, at 10 p.m. local time, the suspect was in custody. Why? Because the father informed us, pursuant to an interview of him, that he looked at the video that we released that evening and the enhanced photos and identified the suspect. That's how fast the FBI was working to put out information in real time. And for comparative sake, the Boston bombing, the FBI didn't release images for 3 days. We know we didn't have 3 days. I made an executive decision on an investigative and operational need, and it turned out to be the right move because the men and women of the FBI said that's what we should be doing.
Have I missed this, or was there ever a statement made to the public that the father contacted the FBI because he saw his son on the news? Or was it just the son going to the father saying he wanted to kill himself, freaking out, and then the father turning him in? Have there been any statements saying that the father or the son, that any of this even had to do with the stuff that was released on the news?
Yeah, we knew when that video was released, we said it here on Fox and Friends, someone's going to recognize this person because someone was friends with him, his family, someone knows this guy. Those images were crystal clear. Mm-hmm. Tell us what you know about his background, his childhood, his father who had to turn him in.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ignore the last question. Going back to the group chats real quick, there's more than 20 individuals. But this is a great point. I want to lay out how this works. People think we can just get in these group chats and immediately find out who's in them. We, the FBI, are the investigatory body supporting multiple prosecutions and ongoing investigations. And that's another point. Our investigation at the FBI is ongoing. And there are scores of people in this Discord chat room. But we have to effectuate legal process. We have to go out there with search warrants so that if prosecutors want to later use this evidence, it's not tainted by being illegally obtained. We, the FBI, are running the investigation pointedly on the Discord chat group. There are scores of individuals that are going to be spoken to. There are also lots of family members and friends that have already been spoken to. And one more point on forensics. We were able to obtain in record time the text message chain between the suspect and his live-in partner, as well as other critical cellular information from our CAST team that analyzes cell phone data towers in the area to pinpoint the locations of the suspect.
So he wasn't living at home recently. Assuming what he just said was true, okay.
And other individuals he was speaking with. This is critical information that the FBI processed and got to prosecutors so they can lawfully use it in a court of law. And our investigation, our interviews continue, but we learned some shocking things when we spoke to his family and friends as well.
You want to share them? Those shocking things?
Sure. My job as FBI director is not to speak to motive, is to speak to the facts. And that's what I'm going to do. His family has collectively told investigators that he subscribed to left-wing ideology and even more.
I'm not going to talk about the motive, but I'm going to talk about the facts. This is what This is hearsay from the family member. Why not just, what did they say exactly? Maybe he'll say it. I just paused him right now.
His family has collectively told investigators that he subscribed to left-wing ideology and even more so in these last couple of years. And he had a text message exchange, he, the suspect, with another individual in which he claimed that he had an opportunity to take out Charlie Kirk and he was going to do it because of his hatred for what Charlie stood for. Those are factually accurate investigatory findings by the FBI that we've handed over to the local authorities and the federal authorities to make their prosecutorial decisions. But I believe in this instance of such public importance, the public has a right to know. And I've told you I'm committed to transparency, and that's what I'm doing here
today. Why didn't that person that he was talking to...
I always said this, that when you're debating somebody and they release like a very particular type of stat, I think that is a heuristic. You can almost believe the opposite. Like if somebody's like, if I were to ask, you know, what makes more money... being an HVAC worker or an electrician, as far as electricians make way more money. And you can tell because if you look at what electricians make from the ages of 24 to 45 in the state of Washington, outside of the major cities, they actually dramatically outperform it. Like that makes me think that, okay, well, if you have the data at that granularity, then you must know the broad data and it must not support you because otherwise you'd be citing that. This idea of like, we know very specifically that he said he hated Charlie Kirk, and then that's it. What else? Did he say anything else about this? Where are the messages? What kind of hatred did he have for Charlie Kirk? Because that can come on the right or the left. Charlie Kirk was a huge Israel supporter, but that makes me think that they don't have anything strong about him being left-wing. But I don't know. Who knows?
Public has a right to know, and I've told you I'm committed to transparency, and that's what I'm doing here
today. Why didn't that person that he was talking to, why didn't that person say something?
Our investigation is ongoing. That's a great question. And we don't have an answer on that just yet.
But Mr. Director, you're right. Your job is not to speak to ideology, but you do have the BAU, mm-hmm. the Behavior Analysis Unit, that are there. And yeah. My sources, people that are within the Bureau and outside the used to be FBI, tell me that the BAU has been encouraged not to tackle the transgender issue from an ideology standpoint. Have you heard that? Are you tackling that? I know you've only been there recently, but you can't have...
Okay, investigators say that the father did see images of his son on TV, and that's why he confronted the son. So maybe that was important for him.
I have a political slant saying we're not going to attack different political ideologies because it's going to offend someone.
You're absolutely right. And that's why me and the deputy have been quarterbacking this investigation ourselves. There is no one at the FBI that's going to politicize this investigation. There's no one at Quantico or anywhere else that is going to say we are not looking at X or Y. We are looking at the facts. And that is why we are releasing the facts in record fashion. If you go back and look at historical cases like Luigi Mangione and the Boston bombing, how long did it take the Bureau to release information to the public? We're not doing that. Those two manhunts took 5 days and they happened in downtown major metropolises. We apprehended our suspect in 33 hours because we were transparent and open with the American public. And we're going to continue to do that. So anyone that thinks that the FBI is not on top of its game and that me and the deputy and everybody in leadership in our Salt Lake City field office in Quantico is doing anything politically, I'm not having it. And if you've heard anything else about it, they are lying to you. We're on it.
That's why it's so important that you came on with Real DR. A couple other things. I have two quick questions. One, is it true, what the governor said yesterday, that he had a written note that you're looking into now prior to the assassination? Did he have a note? And the other one question is, the person that was texting with him about, I have a shot at taking out Charlie Kirk, can that person be charged?
So I'll take those in reverse. The charging decisions are up to our great partners at the Department of Justice and the Attorney General, who have been wonderful providing resources during this entire process. And we'll let them speak to any charging decisions. But we, the FBI, are investigating. As I said, our investigation is ongoing. We're interviewing dozens and dozens of suspects, subjects, witnesses, and the like, and continuing to examine forensic information, including cell phone data and DNA analyses. And once we make those findings handed over to our partners, as we're doing in real time, they'll make those decisions. And I'm sorry, Brian, I forgot your other question.
You had a written note. Did he write a written note before the assassination attempt? That's what the governor said yesterday. And what did that say, if you could
share that? I'm sorry. So what I'm able to say is I addressed it partially earlier, is that the written note, we believe, did exist. And we have evidence to show what was in that note, which is, and I'm going to summarize, basically saying, the suspect wrote a note saying, I have the opportunity to take out Charlie Kirk, and I'm going to take it. That note was written before the shooting. Evidence of its existence, we now have learned, existed before the shooting, was in the location in the suspect and partner's home. But we have since learned that the note, even though it has been destroyed, we have found forensic evidence of the note, and we have confirmed what that note says because of our aggressive interview posture at the FBI.
Without more information, that's kind of scary and sketchy. So there's a destroyed note. We don't know what it said, but they're going to tell us what it said. Okay.
So, Mr. Director, I'm curious, and there has been some criticism, so I appreciate you coming on our program and discussing it with our audience. Can you tell us what was happening on the ground? Apparently, according to sources, you weren't getting some information, you requested photos, and you were being stonewalled. And I think it's important to note, there's always some sort of tension between local cops on the ground and the feds. They want to handle their own investigation, but of course, with an investigation of this magnitude, you have to step in, you have the resources. But can you explain, was it the local field office, was it the state police? What was going on?
So the local authorities have been fantastic.
Okay.
The local sheriff, the state PD have been wonderful. And any investigation, as you hinted to, of this magnitude has so many people in it because I'd made the decision to search so many resources. And to get the information up to me was of the utmost priority. So I worked with my team to say, hey, there's not going to be any delays. We're not going to do it the way we normally do things. So the only thing that people were doing at the FBI was how they knew how to do things. I had to expedite that process. That's my job. That's what I thought this case deserved. And that's what this case was rightly calling for. So I made the tough calls. But I wasn't critical of anyone in particular. I just said, we got to move faster. And that was my call to make. And if there's any criticism there, you can put it right here.
Giving you information, FBI. Director, who wasn't giving you the photos when you requested them quickly and it didn't make it to you? Who denied that order?
It's all just virtue signaling bullshit. Like, it was just standard. Everything was probably just standard requests and everything. He's not going to have an answer for this, is he?
It's not a denial of the order. Just to clarify, yeah. I'm glad we're talking about this. The photos were produced. They just weren't produced in a timely fashion that
As in he had asked for them or whatever. Like, it's retarded. Yeah.
I felt was appropriate for an investigation of this magnitude. So I came in and I accelerated that process.
So in the 24 hours after, when we were still looking for the guy, I know you posted that we got him. And that ended up not being true. You took some incoming because of that. What led to you posting that? Why did you feel so certain about it? And what do you have to say about the criticism? Mm-hmm.
What was the exact tweet? Because I know that he typoed subject. Instead of saying anything, he should just say, well, when I said subject, I meant like a subject for questioning, not the actual suspect or something. I wonder if he could get away with that bullshit.
As I stated, I was being transparent with working with the public on our findings as I had them. I stated in that message that we had a subject.
Oh, he did it. Oh, wait, leave me the tweet. What? I have the mega brain. Wait, leave me the tweet. That was totally a typo. He meant to say suspect. Wait, where's the tweet? Cash Patel, Twitter. Oh, wait, hold on. He did typo that. He's saying it was... No, this is a typo. It doesn't make sense if you read it otherwise, right? Imagine this as suspect. The suspect for the horrific shooting today that took the life of Charlie Kirk is now in custody. Thank you to the local and state authorities in Utah for your partnership with FBI. Who is... What would be the subject? The subject? The person of interest? The... For the horrific shooting? Doesn't make sense. This was absolutely suspect. He just typoed it because he was on his phone and it... autocorrected or something. Oh my God. He's really going to run with that? That he meant subject? Oh my God.
And that we were going to interview him, and we did. I appreciate this opportunity. Look, as I stated, I was being transparent with working with the public on our findings as I had them. I stated in that message that we had a subject and that we were going to interview him, and we did, and he was released. The job of the FBI is not just to manhunt the actual suspect who did the killing or suspects, but it's also to eliminate targets and eliminate subjects who are not involved in the process, and that's what we were doing. Could I have worded it a little better in the heat of the moment? Sure. But do I regret putting it out? Absolutely not. I was telling the world what the FBI was doing as we were doing, and I'm continuing to do that, and I challenge anyone out there to find a director that has been more transparent and more willing to work the media on high-profile cases or any...
This is kind of what I said before about how, like, infinite transparency, it's not a good thing. There's a reason why some information is released to the public and why some information isn't released to the public, right? Ongoing investigations can turn over a lot of evidence. You might have a lot of opinions or ideas or beliefs about a thing, but you don't necessarily have all the facts to back it up. Releasing every single individual thing to the public for them to draw their own conclusions on is not really a good idea, because investigators have the ability to dig through and find information that, you know, the public ordinarily wouldn't have access to. I don't want bits and pieces of my life spewed out onto the internet for people to draw conclusions about without having like a holistic picture put together in a courtroom or something. This is why you don't have unlimited transparency, especially into ongoing investigations, generally speaking. Oh my God, I can't believe he ran with that.
Any case, the FBI is handling, then we have been.
And just follow, do you think that guy was part of the plot to distract you while this guy got away? Do you think there's any connection between two of those people that stood up and acted crazy at that moment?
I can't believe he used that meme.
Well, as it's now been publicly reported, some of these people were taking claims for this horrific act of violence and they had nothing to do with it. Others were working what we call a daisy chain analysis, and this is where the cell phone data dumps are so important. We're seeing who talked to who, not just in chat groups. We're seeing who texted who was around who. We're using our geofencing capabilities to map out exactly where individuals were, and then we're also getting into their personal cell phone information to say, were you calling so-and-so? Were you texting so-and-so? And we know the suspect was communicating with folks. But as I've said, that cell phone tower information, you got to get it the right way, with search warrants, with lawful authority, so that our prosecutors can use it in court for whatever investigations they decide to prosecute.
Cash, he's not saying a word. He's not admitting it. Is he remorseful? And what happens to him? Does he get the death penalty?
Well, I'll let the state authority speak to their prosecution, which is ongoing. As I think your summary is correct, based on my information that I have, he has not been cooperating in terms of interrogations with our law enforcement officials.
And Mr. Director, we always appreciate it, because every time there's silence, that's when the conspiracy theories pop up. Yeah. So we appreciate you coming out with us today and just telling people what you know.
That's where the conspiracy theories pop up. Yeah, because you guys make them. Because you make the conspiracies, you morons. You guys make conspiracies no matter what. Even if everything comes out about this investigation, you're still going to make conspiracies. Oh, my God.